to say. These streets have lost their names. It doesn't matter where I'm going anyway. And everything's worked out, but we don't talk anymore. Is that a good thing?
Hey everybody, welcome to the Uprise Review Podcast. My name is Everett Foster. I am here with my co-host Stephen Willis. He is a co-founder and co-editor of the UprisingReview.com, Uprising Review magazine. If you haven't checked it out and you're listening to this podcast, I suggest that you check it out. We've got great stuff on there every week. We have new op-eds. We have a new story every Monday coming out, new short story or flash fiction sometimes. We have a new podcast every week. We try to get every week. And we are looking into doing more op-eds, but we've got some good stuff coming out. We have a new op-ed by Mars Dorian, a writer from Berlin. I suggest you go check it out. But we have decided today we are going to talk about something that a lot of writers struggle with, especially newer writers, people who are doing novels, people who are doing short stories, people who are simply trying to make a name for themselves, and that is the question of building your brand. And Stephen has a lot of experience in marketing. I don't really have experience in marketing, so he is going to be kind of taking the lead on this one. But I do have experience in kind of building your name online because I get paid to write, and it's not making me millions, but I can live off of it. And so I'll contribute as I can. Stephen is going to kind of take the reins on this one. And so Stephen, what are your thoughts on building your brand? Where do you start? Where does a new author start? Whenever he or she says, okay, I got my first novel written. Is that the hard part, or is the hard part building your brand and getting noticed?
Well, I would say for a lot of writers, most of us probably aren't necessarily, of course, there are exceptions, but a lot of us aren't necessarily very outgoing, or we're definitely more comfortable in front of a computer writing, creating something. And as an artist, as a musician, and as a writer, something I've struggled with, because I think even though I do have a background in marketing and I market for businesses, and you know, it's a different challenge to do it for yourself. I've certainly struggled trying to figure out sort of where I am as a writer, because I don't necessarily, I mean, and if you're a writer who really only writes science fiction or horror or whatever, I am very jealous, because it's so much harder as somebody who, you know, I wrote a kid's book. I love writing science fiction. So I sort of write a lot of different things. And so I think for writers who do that, it's even more of a challenge to figure out how to market yourself. You know, you mentioned Mars Dorian. He's got a great website, a great just general online presence. And, but he only writes science fiction. I guess I think the first and foremost is just to be out there, you know, put a blog together, even if it's just on WordPress or Blogger, put something out there and start sharing your work. I would say, and a lot of writers and business people, artists, don't really like to hear this, but right now, and we've all seen it, give something away for free. You know, it doesn't necessarily have to be a full ebook. I know a lot of writers have been really successful doing that, but you will really do a lot of good for your brand if you just start giving away, you know, something, some sort of buy-in to just get people interested in you, because that's really the hard part, is to get people in the door. You know, once they're in the door, they see what you're about, they'll like you or they won't, but getting them in the door is really that hard part.
So you said a lot there. Let's unpack some of that. One of the more difficult things that I think writers struggle with, especially new writers, and I struggled with this because I've written three books and they're all in different genres. But one of them definitely outsells the other two. I've written a historical novel. I've written a book of short story science fiction, and I've written a satire set in Japan, and it's silly and action oriented and it's got magical ninjas and stuff, but it's satire nonetheless. But what I've noticed is that I don't have a lot of overlap in my readers. That is, people who enjoy my historical fiction don't really read the satire, and vice versa. And that, I think, has kind of hindered me. And that's why I'm going back to my roots as a historian, as a trained historian, anyway, not a professional one, and writing my next novel set in historical Italy. And that is something that I'm really enjoying right now, because I get, from a historical perspective, I get to enjoy the ambiance and, I guess, I don't know, mise-en-scene maybe is the best word for it, even though it's not film, the atmosphere, the world that I'm creating. That to me is really a lot of fun and is satisfying as a writer, but I think it'll also maybe help with overlap on my other book. If I just sort of focus down and say, okay, I'm a writer of historical fiction, and when it comes to my novels, I write historical fiction, and that is what I'm going to focus on. So maybe that's the first step, is simply focus on one genre, because I think genre is a lot more than just a marketing tool. I think genre is a way of focusing up your work and building yourself as a brand, and simply saying, this is me, this is who I am, this is what I do. Because, you know, like J.K. Rowling, she's basically known for Harry Potter. Tom Clancy is basically known for inventing the cyber thriller, or the military cyber thriller, whatever you want to call it. You know, John Grisham is a lawyer who writes about lawyers. You know, sticking to one thing helps you build your brand over time. It's very clear. And that's something I think we all need to focus on.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And I was recently looking into this question because, like I said, I write all over the place. I think I started my blog a little over a year ago, and I was just like, I just want to write whatever I feel like writing. And, you know, it's been fun doing that. But as I'm starting to do more with my writing, have more time to write, I'm starting to realize, you know, hey, I need to start thinking about how I'm, you know, building my brand, building my audience. And as much as maybe some writers don't really want to hear it, you really do have to pick a focus.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's true even in things like reporting. I mean, if you look at newspapers, I mean, an investigative reporter who does politics will stick to that one thing. A war correspondent pretty much does war correspondence. They don't bounce around, because one of the truths about life is that the more you do something, the better you get at it. And we can say that broadly about writing, but it's also true about genre writing, and it's also true about specific types of writing. And it's true about music. I mean, you're a musician. I used to be a musician. If you try to play 10 different instruments, you're not going to be good at any one of them. If you try to play in 5 different musical genres, you're probably not going to be good at any one of them. But if you pick a genre and you pick a instrument, you're going to excel eventually. And I think it's the same thing with writing.
Right. And I think the big thing is really just to, especially starting out while you're building your audience, you really do, in a lot of ways, have to stick to one thing. And, you know, from there, you can branch out, and many, many writers are very successful doing it. But yeah, I think you're right. Even those that do branch out and they start to write other things, the majority of the time, they really are mostly recognized for their core work that they have spent a lot of time focusing on.
Yeah, I mean, J.K. Rowling, she's written, you know, I can't even remember the names of the other books that are not Harry Potter books that she's written. And her name will forever be synonymous with young adult literature or children's literature because of Harry Potter, no matter what else she writes in her life. And, you know, Stephen King, he's written many things that are not horror, but we still think of him as a horror writer. And, you know, that is not a bad thing. I think, you know, there's this fear of being pigeonholed, I think, that a lot of young writers have and a lot of young artists have in general. They worry that they're not going to be able to freely express all of their views if they're confined to one style or one genre. But I don't think that that's a bad thing. In fact, I think putting those kind of limits on yourself, saying, I'm going to work within this, this, and that, these are the ideas I'm going to deal with, these are the themes I'm going to deal with, in a lot of ways it's very liberating, because you develop depth rather than breadth. And breadth is dangerous, because you're not going to have a lot of overlap from your different fans. But you're also going to, if you develop depth, you're going to become a much better writer on those particular topics. I mean, one of my favorite writers is Dostoevsky, and his magnum opus, The Brothers Karamazov, is a psychological novel that really gets to the heart of the spirit of man, the Russian soul, the dusha. And you know, he developed that over the course of his life. He couldn't have written The Brothers Karamazov had he not written The Gambler or Notes from the Underground. And that is, they all play in together. They all go together. And I think you'll notice that, you know, with very few exceptions, your favorite writers, whoever they are, they get better over time. And it usually takes a while, but if they stick to that one thing, if they stick to their voice, if they stick to the same ideas, rather than being pigeonholed and rather than being limited, I think it becomes very freeing in a way.
Yeah. And I've certainly been kind of struggling with this, trying to think, you know, how do I really focus in on what I want to work with and, you know, the types of stories that I want to write. And, you know, I think a lot of times in music, it's so much easier, because you really do kind of have a genre that you're, either good at or you enjoy, or it kind of fits with the instrument that you play. But writers kind of, it's a little more challenging to really focus in.
Why do you say that? To me, it just seems like if you're a writer, you know, pick a genre you're passionate about, or pick a topic or a theme that you're passionate about and work with that. Isn't that really all there is to it? Or do you think there's something deeper going on?
Yeah, I guess it depends. Every person's different. I guess for me, I just really, you know, the name of my musical project is My Eclectic Self. And the idea there with my music is really to bring, you know, all of my different musical backgrounds, which is very diverse, and all of my different musical tastes kind of together. And with music, I think it's much easier to do that. You know, finding inspiration, you know, I've chosen, you know, more of an acoustic folk, but I bring a lot of the inspiration from the different choirs that I've been involved with. You know, I've been in a metal band. And I've found it, you know, a fun challenge maybe, but certainly not. I never felt as though it was a hindrance to bring any one thing into that. Whereas writing, you know, I feel the same way. I feel very eclectic in everything. You know, it's really, it's not just music. It's a very, I wear a lot of different hats for in a lot of different arenas. And so my writing is really no different. You know, I think I write pretty hilarious satire. I enjoy science fiction a lot. And then just general fiction. I really enjoy writing. So I just kind of bring those things together, I think is a little bit more of a challenge for me as somebody who, you know, has a very diverse set of interests.
Yeah, but you know, that's not a bad thing, bringing things together, because that is kind of the essence of how culture works, isn't it? You know, one of my experiences having traveled around the world is the best places to eat are places that either did a lot of invading, it got invaded a lot, or had a trade route going through, or a port. You know, nobody ever says, hey, let's go out and get some Scottish food. And that's because, aside from being conquered by England, Scotland, you know, they don't really experience a lot of trade. They don't really experience a lot of warfare from people bringing in different spices and different meats and changing the agriculture of their region. But, you know, a place like Singapore or a place like Hong Kong, these are great places to eat. And I think the same thing can be said for writing. You know, really some of the best writers out there are people who kind of invented their own genre, like Tom Clancy I mentioned earlier. I mean, the cyber military thriller didn't really exist before The Hunt for Red October. You know, and it's the same thing with The Spy Who Came In From the Cold. What is his name? I'm forgetting it off the top of my head. But the writer who came up with The Spy Who Came In From the Cold, he pretty much invented the espionage Cold War genre. And it's just, and for the rest of his career, he pretty much wrote about spies. You know, whether it was Tinker, Tailor, Soldier, Spy, or The Constant Gardener. I don't remember if that one's exactly about spies, but he pretty much wrote in the same genre for the rest of his life. And, you know, creating your own voice, that is really the essence of creating your own voice, isn't it? Mixing the things that you love and that make you unique to come up with something that didn't exist before. And that is really one of the most powerful things you can do for branding and ultimately to lead your own success.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And it's really funny that you kind of mentioned that, because as I was saying, you know, oh, I'm into satire and sci-fi, I'm like, oh, wow, a satire sci-fi novel. That sounds kind of cool. I don't know really anyone that's done that.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, you know.
Go for it. And you mentioned something else that I want to touch on, and that is the value of a name. Because you mentioned your project as My Eclectic Self, and that is your handle on social media. That's what you are known by. So let's talk a little bit about something that you and I both do, and that is Googleability of a name and the value of a name. So a lot of writers pick up pen names, and they do this because they either want to protect their identity, or in some cases because, you know, like J.K. Rowling, she wanted not to be judged as a woman writing a children's fantasy, essentially. And I heard this story, and I don't know if this is exactly true, but because it's online, and as we know, everything online is true, that a little kid had enjoyed J.K. Rowling's books, and then turned to, whenever this kid got older, turned to C.S. Lewis and J.R.R. Tolkien, and this kid thought that both J.R.R. Tolkien and C.S. Lewis were women because they use initials. And that's kind of an interesting turnabout, isn't it? You know, that are we... You know, how does the name affect your brand? You know, maybe if you're going to come up with a pen name, maybe it should be something very, very reflective of the genre or the brand you want to build. You know, like, for example, my name, I use Everett because it's a Googleable name. You know, it's like me and Anthony Everett are the only ones who use that spelling. And, you know, My Eclectic Self is very Googleable as well. So maybe that's the first step that you need to consider in branding is, what are you going to call yourself?
Yeah, you know, the guy who just wrote our last op-ed, Mars Dorian, obviously science fiction, right there. And I just have to say, his email, when he emails you, and it was awesome. So I had to share it. It says, "Greetings from Mars."
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, no, it was really cool.
That's a really a great way to brand yourself, because the guy has clearly tied himself to the science fiction genre with the name Mars. Mm-hmm. I mean, and I assume it's not his real name, but, you know, it doesn't matter. The point is that that's what he's writing under, and that's what he's going to be known as.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, if he gets big enough, I would assume that if you Google Mars, you're going to get articles about the planet Mars. But as soon as he gets big enough, you're going to get articles about him as well, and that'll easily lead new readers to him.
Oh, yeah. You know, he is actually a branding expert. He consulted on one of my favorite websites of all time, online branding, which is fluentin3months.com. And
I love that site too.
Yeah. It's a language site, and I'm so jealous that Benny Lewis, the guy who, the polyglot who started this site, markets languages, because it's just, as a marketer, the easiest thing to market. Because you know the goal that they want to have. Everyone visits this site. They want to learn a language. But he takes that goal and just fulfills what the visitor wants so well. And he has this free week-long email course to help you speak whatever language you want to speak that week.
Is that how you started learning Dutch?
I started on Duolingo, but I have been following Benny's kind of program. I bought his book, and and it's all about really speaking your language from the beginning.
That's kind of cool. When you talked to Mars, did you talk to him about marketing at all? Did he say anything?
I haven't yet. I definitely plan to, because I would really like to talk to him about sort of trying to build my personal brand. But no, I would highly recommend, you know, maybe looking into possibly, I mean, he does do consulting. So if you're at that stage where you're really wanting to, you know, you've maybe written a novel or you're working on a novel and you're starting to build your personal brand as a writer, I don't see how you can go wrong. Obviously, I don't have any personal experience working with him yet, but just what I've seen thus far, you know, what Mars has done by himself and what he's done with that site, is pretty phenomenal.
Cool. So let's change speeds a little bit here and kind of you know, kind of get back to the notion of building your own brand. And this is something that I kind of was thinking about, as you were talking, and we mentioned, you know, building your brand as a function of sticking to a genre. But what is the value, or how do you build a brand if you're trying to build something rather new, especially as an independent writer who's going to publish on Amazon? And we've done a podcast on Amazon as well. You guys should go listen to that if you haven't already. I believe it was the podcast right before this week, if everything goes out chronologically.
Yeah.
But what is the value of, say, something like writing short stories in your own brand or your own genre? I think maybe there's some value to that, because if it takes you 8 months to write a book and get that out, you know, maybe people forget your name. Maybe people forget who you are. What is the value in short stories? What is the value in blogging, I guess, or in just writing in general? What is the value as a from a marketing perspective? What do you get out of that?
Well, I started, you know, my blog back a little over a year ago, and I really started it because I realized I didn't have any solid current writing samples that were fiction. It were all, you know, marketing writing, or, you know, an article on marketing or something like that. But, you know, as I've started to take, you know, the marketing aspect of my writing more seriously, I think that really is the first step, is just to have your own platform so that you can start to build your audience. I think that's really where...
Is there a lot of value in producing content on a weekly basis, or is it a better use of your time to research and write a quality novel that will come out, you know, maybe once a year? Or should writers, you know, maybe be writing a short story every so often and just trying to submit it or get it published just to keep their name out there? Because one of the interesting things I've seen on Amazon is, and this was a couple of years ago, is when it started, a lot of sort of mid-list and sometimes even bigger name authors would write short stories and submit them to a program on Amazon. And I'm forgetting the name of it. Some of the readers or listeners may know. But they were, and they were kind of doing serials for a while. And it was like every week, every 2 weeks, a new story would come out. And that seems like a great way to keep your name in the public eye whenever you're in between novels.
Oh, certainly. And I mean, I'm sure no one is foreign to the fact that, you know, it's really hard to grab attention online. And that's why we see all of these companies, these brands, putting out their own work, their own articles. And so, I mean, as a writer, I really can only benefit you by, you know, continually working to put out, you know, a blog every week, or, you know, sticking to some sort of schedule that works for you. I mean, I
absolutely believe in the value of a blog, because that is the place where you can become the curator of your own information. Whether we like it or not, we live in an internet age, and it's not going away. And that's a good thing, I think, for writers, because you have the opportunity to build your brand in a way that it never existed in 1980. You know, in 1980, you were beholden to the mainstream press to cover you, which pretty much meant you needed a PR agent, which pretty much meant that you needed to be plugged into big publishing. And we can now take control of our own information. We are the curators of our own information. We can, you know, we can say, this is what's true about me. This is what's not true about me. And there is a lot of interesting overlap there. But let's talk about something else really that is interesting to me, and that is social media, because we've seen an explosion of social media ever since the censorious nature of Twitter and Facebook was revealed. And now you have things like wrongthink.net and minds.com and gab.ai coming up, and they're just a ton more. And I discovered today something called BitChute, I think is how it's pronounced. It's an alternative to VidMe and YouTube. But they don't seem to have much content. I saw in their FAQ section they only have 7,000 users. So they're definitely an upcoming product, but I'm curious, do you think you should stick to one or two social media sites, or should people be present across all kinds of social media sites, from Twitter to Gab to Instagram to YouTube? Do we need all of that? Or is it a better use of our time to build an audience on one platform, two platforms?
You know, I really think much in the same way that, you know, you really have to focus your like and stick to a specific genre, at least when you're starting out. I really think, you know, you will get much more benefit out of social media if you really do, you know, choose a couple of platforms. That way you'll really be able to interact much better with your audience and just interact with people in general to build an audience.
Yeah, one of the things I've noticed is that a lot of people that have started reading my work have read it because I have in my Gab profile that I'm a writer and I have the name of my novels. And I, you know, people will say things to me like, oh, you know, you're a writer, I'm going to buy your novel. Or I really liked what you wrote here. Or, you know, hey, this was great, I wish you'd write more like that. You know, and I get those gabs, I guess you could call them, instead of tweets. But yeah, I definitely think that sticking to one or two social media accounts is far better than trying to stretch yourself across every social media that exists. And I think that's maybe a mistake that a lot of people who are not really older, like I'm a little older, I kind of grew up on the internet. I remember things like Usenet and like AOL and stuff. And, you know, I remember when Navigator was a thing. but that, it's pretty cool that you can really build your brand from social media these days and use that to interact directly with your fans in a way that you couldn't do even 10, 15 years ago, right?
Right. And I, you know, it's really awesome to simply be able to put your name out there in just in a way that, you know, as you were saying earlier, it was impossible before. And something else that we haven't, I think I briefly touched on it, is using your blog as a medium to get emails. Having an email list is super important because it's a great way, you know, above and beyond, you know, just a social media account where, you know, your followers may or may not see what you're posting on a, you know, on an hourly, daily basis.
Yeah. And that is really important. That's something that I think, you know, it's just, we overestimate the value of big platforms like Twitter and Facebook, yeah. But I get virtually no interaction on my Facebook page, and I haven't posted to it in over a year.
Well,
and my Twitter is a wasteland of politics and, you know, trolling. So I get no value from that.
You know, I was just going to say,
I get a lot of value off of things like Gab.
Oh yeah. No, I mean, it's really just finding the platform that works for you. I think, you know, I was reading, I hate to keep mentioning Mars Dorian, but I guess it's a good thing cause he wrote the op-ed for us, but, it was a blog he read or something where he said, you know, he really found his niche on Twitter, and that's kind of the social media platform that he uses. You know, I think that's really what it's about, is just finding whatever platform works for you. And I just want to make a quick note on Facebook. The Facebook, you know, author and business pages in general, they have set it up so where you really do have to pay. I mean, it's more of, think of it like a magazine where, you know, if you want to promote yourself in a magazine, you've got to buy an ad. It's really, that's what Facebook has become now for businesses.
Yeah. And that is toxic to writing, I think, especially if you're starting out with very little money and maybe you just don't have the ability to buy those ads. And it's something I struggled with whenever I put my first book out, was do I buy advertising? Do I buy anything on Facebook? Because I would see book advertisements on Facebook and I think, okay, that's a great way to drive people to my work. But I don't think that works really. And I'm not sure what the click-through rate is. I don't know any of that, but it just seems no one really talks about it. Hey, you know, I really love Facebook ads.
Right. No, I think if you really want to go that route and to, you know, if you've got a budget to run ads on, you know, some, not just Facebook, but anywhere, I would go, I honestly would, you know, sure, go ahead and sponsor a post on Facebook, but do it for your blog. Drive them to your blog,
not the book,
right? Because, you know, people are going to be much more apt to buy your book after they have already, you know, sort of been immersed in your work. and really become to appreciate you as a writer through your blog than they are just seeing some ad on Facebook and, you know, they may or may not be interested in that genre or, you know, that particular topic at all.
Yeah. And that is really important, I think, because one of the things that people want to know is that if they're going to spend their money on a book, is it going to really speak to them? And they want, there are a lot of people, I think a lot of people, especially conservatives and libertarians, who have had their values sucker punched so many times over the years by mainstream publishing and mainstream Hollywood and things like that, that they just don't, they don't trust publishing, they don't trust books. There is this, okay, well, I'll buy your book, but I'm just expecting the moment where you slam Christianity or something. And so, you know, I think if they can get to know you a little bit on your blog and get to see that this is who you are, okay, maybe this guy, you know, maybe he's going to give us a fair hearing. Maybe he's going to treat us well because he seems like a decent guy, and therefore I will buy his book.
Yeah, for, you know, a random writer with very little name recognition, yeah, you're not going to get a whole lot of benefit from simply putting your blog in, or your book, excuse me, in an ad, you know, really. And that's what social media really is trying to connect with people to get them to know you so that they will be, you know, interested in what you have to say and interested in, you know, your book.
Yeah. Really, that's all my input that I have from what I know, just working as a writer. And, you know, you need to build your name. You need something that's Googleable. You need to be a curator of your own information. Don't overdo it on the social media, because social media is discoverable from Google, and that ties back into your name. You know, and have a voice. And all of this ultimately has to lead up to having a voice, and maybe that's a topic we'll cover in our next podcast, and that is how do you develop your voice as a writer. But marketing and voice are very closely related, because people will come back to a writer that they trust. And like, there are people, like the reason Tom Clancy's, there's a new book by Tom Clancy, but Tom Clancy's been dead for what, 6 or 7 years now? So it's not that they're selling a new writer, they're selling the brand Tom Clancy. And that's because when you buy a Tom Clancy novel, you know what you're getting. And it's the same thing with James Patterson, who isn't dead, but he kind of writes an outline for a story, from what I understand. And then he has another writer essentially flesh it out and create the words. And it's not a bad thing. It's just that people know what they're going to get when they buy a James Patterson novel. And so that is really something that all this marketing has to play into. And there's a tendency in marketing to kind of trick people into buying your product, and I don't think that's a good way to build a career. It might be a good way to sell books in the short term, but it's not a good way to build a career and to build a fan base, because people don't want to be tricked and they don't want to be manipulated by marketing.
Right. And I think the last thing I want to say here is really just be relational, especially with the internet. You know, we have this awesome opportunity to connect with people in ways that, you know, a magazine ad, you know, back, you know, in the 90s or 80s would never have done. You know, we really can speak directly to our audience in a totally different way. And the best, you know, marketing of any brand, but a writer, is really just to harness that and to speak directly to your audience and to use your voice.
Yeah. And that is a good way to wrap this up. For the Uprising Review, if you guys haven't, again, check out our website, uprisingreview.com. If you have questions, comments, concerns, anything you want us to address, topics you're interested in, email us at podcast@uprisingreview.com. We check it regularly. We are also still taking submissions for short stories. If you're a writer and you want to submit to us, feel free. We read, we publish every week. We pay a little, not a lot, because we don't have a lot of money. We're all struggling writers here, but we are really interested in supporting this community and in supporting free speech and supporting those types of values that make, that really make writing worth it. And so we love you guys. We're thankful that you enjoy us. You know, leave a rating, give us 5 stars, leave a comment on iTunes if you're listening on iTunes. That'll really help us out. If you like it, share it. Tell a friend. If you have a friend who's a writer, send them a link. Other than that, for uprisingreview.com, I'm Everett Foster. For Stephen Willis, you guys take it easy.
and I don't know what to say to you at all. Life's getting away from us, and it's okay.